This is Twit.
It is currently cheaper to take, I think it's Blade or whatever, the non-Uber one, from JFK, take their helicopter from JFK to Manhattan than it is to take an Uber from JFK to Manhattan, because all of the Uber surge pricing has been insane lately.
Wow. That's
Uber prices.
They've lost
a lot
of drivers.
Yeah, they've lost a lot of drivers, and they've been raising prices because they need to someday maybe make money. And at least in Brooklyn and New York, it is like $30 to go a couple of miles. Is that the same where you guys live? Is it the same in Petaluma?
$30 on an Uber?
Yeah.
No.
To go a couple miles.
No, I don't think so. No. That's that surge
pricing. I haven't been in one for a year and a half, so I don't know.
Mm.
My daughter spends about $1,000 a month on Lyft. I don't know if that's germane or not.
Yeah, I think Lyft
probably
is
cheaper than
your
car insurance.
So. That is exactly why she takes Lyft, because I'm not buying her another car and paying for the car insurance. So she likes Lyft. I guess if you wear a mask, it's okay. I don't know. It makes me nervous. Yeah. Taxis
windows
are cheaper,
open,
though.
You know,
aren't taxis cheaper in New York, though, than Uber?
Yeah, taxis are a lot cheaper now. I have downloaded taxi apps.
And taxi makes money. Uber loses money on every ride. So I don't understand how this all works.
There's some new co-op thing that I just downloaded recently. I mean, people have been saying this should happen for years. Co-op ride. I haven't had a chance to try it because, again, I haven't done an Uber or a Lyft in a year or two. But I feel like, Paris, if you've been in New York as long as I have, I feel like it took Uber such a long time to get popular here because taxis were always cheaper. Like, we didn't need it.
Yeah, I think the thing that eventually tipped the needle is the convenience of being able to hail it anywhere or in different boroughs where maybe taxis weren't coming as often. But now it's kind of starting to tilt its way back a little bit. I mean, obviously Uber and Lyft are still really dominant forms of transportation, but the prices I've seen, I don't know, complaints on the Reddit New York City forums or from random people on Twitter, just that the prices for both of the apps have gone so high that people are going back to taxis.
This is the New York Times from yesterday. Prepare to pay more for Uber and Lyft rides. Companies say they're charging extra because they don't have enough drivers to match the rebounding demand. So they lost drivers during pandemic?
I think a lot of people didn't feel comfortable driving.
Right.
And
what? And the surge is how much? I mean, according to the Times, they're saying 37% higher in March than it was a year ago. In April, the cost was up 40% year over year. Some surges as much as 50%. Yeah,
I think it's capped at 10 times whatever the base fare is.
10 times?
So, yeah.
That's 1,000%. Holy cow.
It used to be more, but a few years ago they capped it at 10x. I mean, most surges are not, you know, the maximum amount. But it's still pretty substantial. It can be really substantial, especially, you know, if it's during rush hour or bad weather, you know, on a rainy day when people don't want to be standing outside waiting for a car, you know, trying to hail a cab. The surge prices for Uber and Lyft can be really high.
So
right now, for instance, I'm in Brooklyn, and to get a Uber to drive me 3 miles to One World Trade Center would be $30 for an Uber X, just the basic one.
Wow. You could probably walk it faster, too.
Probably.
Not now, maybe, because of Memorial Day, but most of the time. So it's funny because this pandemic, another blessing from the pandemic, we haven't had to talk about Uber and Lyft much in the last year. I guess we'll be talking about them again. What is, you know, in California, they passed Prop 22, which said that, you know, these people are employees. I'm sure Uber is fighting that in court, but I imagine coast to coast, there's movements in that direction. Uber already loses something like 40% on every ride. Because they have to pay the employees, the contract employees, having to give them benefits too probably would make it even more expensive. I wonder if Uber is even tenable. Is Uber designed around self-driving vehicles, not around drivers?
It was not originally. When they started it in 2009, 2010, you know, whenever it really got kicked off in San Francisco, you know, the whole premise of self-driving vehicles was still so far off into the future. I mean, nobody was really seeing it at that point as a realistic near-term proposition. It wasn't until about 2014 or so, after Google started, you know, posting videos of their prototype vehicles running around, and you know, others started jumping into the space. That, you know, that was around the time that Travis Kalanick came out and said, you know, this is an existential threat to our business. But the problem for a company like Uber or Lyft is automated vehicles don't necessarily make their business any better, because today, you know, they don't own any of those assets. They don't own the vehicles. They don't have to insure them or put fuel in them or maintain them. They're just paying the drivers. And, you know, if they try to have their own fleet of automated vehicles, their own fleet of robo-taxis, now they've got all those assets. You know, they're going to be spending many billions of dollars a year on buying and maintaining and fueling vehicles. And, you know, there's other kinds of costs. There's new costs that are associated with it. So just eliminating the cost of drivers does not necessarily get them to profitability. So, you know, I think and this is why Uber sold off their ATG group, their advanced technology group, and Lyft sold off their Level 5 group that was developing automated vehicles. And they're just going to partner with the companies that are developing this technology and the automakers and say, bring your vehicles to our platform, just like drivers bring their vehicles to the platform today. And I'm not sure if the economics necessarily get any better for Uber and Lyft in that kind of scenario.
Last quarter, Uber lost $108 million, but it would have been a lot more if they hadn't sold the Advanced Technology Group for $1.6 billion. It would have been significantly larger. They've never made any money. You really have to, no. I mean, they're basically funded by the investors who keep pumping money into Uber. You really have to wonder how long they can keep this up.
They actually have done better, especially over the past year. They've had a lot of growth in the delivery business, Uber Eats and, you know, the other delivery stuff.
Yeah, the Eats stuff.
Which led them to buy Postmates.
Right,
right.
Yeah, they bought Postmates. And so between Uber and DoorDash now, they're kind of the two big dominant players in deliveries now. And the economics of that actually work out a lot better for them than ride hailing.
In the past 4 weeks, more than 100,000 drivers have returned to the Uber platform, according to the New York Times. That's because they put remember, this is a company that lost $100 million last quarter. They put $250 million, they called it stimulus spending, into the effort to recruit drivers. Lyft spent $100 million. Paris, this is the modern world. You spend money to lose money.
To not make money.
Make money. I don't understand this at all.
Well, the other fundamental problem with their business, because it's largely unregulated,
I think that's changing, by the way.
Well, but the nature of what they do, you know, having a dispatch platform, is there's not a real high barrier to entry for that. So, you know, pretty much anybody can replicate what they have done, you know, and it's just a matter of attracting drivers. So because it's asset light, you know, you can come in, you can build the dispatch platform and start recruiting drivers. And, you know, if you're willing to undercut, if you've got enough cash that you can undercut the pricing. So there's always a race to the bottom on the pricing for the consumer side. And for consumers, there's no network effect, because there's no switching cost to go from Uber to Lyft or to any other service.
Yeah.
So they have to keep their prices artificially low.
Right. Or taxis or city bikes. I mean, there's so
yeah.
The Times quotes a hospitality worker in New York who used to pay $20 for Uber rides to Brooklyn from Queens. The fare is now $38. A trip to the Bronx, $45. Ms. Sanchez recently realized airfares were nearly the same price as her Uber rides. When she found a $60 round-trip flight to Miami, she booked that. If my choice is to go to the Bronx or Miami, I'm going to Miami, she said.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
So
it seems to be the VC mentality.
The chat room is saying, Fopa in the chat room is saying, Paris, that this is the Amazon model. You know, Amazon historically didn't make money. They invested it back into the business, built the fulfillment centers, and now they're, you know, extremely profitable. Can you compare this to Amazon, you think, Paris?
I mean, I think it's a little different for the reasons we just discussed. About Amazon, part of what eventually ended up working at scale was their physical assets, their fulfillment center network, the way that their system worked in the physical world. Uber and Lyft really don't have that. I mean, they are incredibly asset light, and the only thing they have is this technology platform that allows them to connect to a supply of drivers that can easily evaporate, as we're seeing right now, and cause all of these issues in regards to accessibility and kind of keeping the cost down for customers, at least. And I think it's also worth mentioning that Amazon is kind of having its own version of this issue in regards to Amazon Flex drivers and the delivery drivers that they use in states like California as well, given that AB5 is currently under question for them.
Right, right. They
there's
have to
also
pay these employees Go ahead, Brian.
It's important to say that there's a difference, Leo, between a company that wasn't profitable for years because it chose not to be.
Right.
I don't think that Uber and Lyft have that luxury to choose not to be profitable.
Yeah,
they would love to eke out a little bit.
Right, right, right. I've also been hearing a lot of people say recently that, you know, we talk about bubbles and things like that in the tech economy all the time, but what if for the last decade or so there was a bubble in the labor market that allowed all of these gig economy startups to happen? And that now if you do go into a roaring 20s period where, again, people can be choosy about the jobs they take, maybe there is inflationary pressure, increasing wages and things like that, that suddenly these gig economy models don't work out, maybe at all?
That's a really good point. Yeah. You know, both my kids graduated from college in the last few years, and both of them entered what is essentially a gig economy. When I got out of college, you had recruitment, you know, you had people on campus trying to recruit you. The idea was you get a job, you have a job for life, you retire with a gold watch. That has really changed. And it is now the expectation of a lot of young people that you're not going to ever have a lifetime job. You might not even have a job. You might just have a bunch of gigs.
Yeah, that's increasingly common. You know, it's been
that seems
the case
so
for my kids.
Unsatisfying and unsustainable. Or maybe that's just me.
I think it is. You know, and I think you know until wages actually start rising, so that people want. I mean, you know, we've seen this in restaurants in recent months as well. You know, restaurants are having a hard time finding people to come back to work because they pay so poorly. You know, in most of the country, you know, the base wage, you know, for restaurant workers is well below the regular minimum wage. You know, it's like $2 or $3 an hour, and then you know most of their income comes from tips. You know, which is a crazy system, and you know until wages actually start rising, then people will come back into the workforce. Who wants to work for wages where you can't make a living?
Yeah, I mean, in some places, you're earning $4 an hour as a waitress or waiter or another tipped employee. And if you don't have enough people coming in and choosing to tip you, you end up making very, very little for your time on the job.
That bothers me. That worries me. I feel like that's a recipe for some kind of disaster. I'm not sure what. But there's going to be a whole generation that's just going to be underemployed and impoverished.